Again, it's good to be with you. As Lyle mentioned, this passage is one of the I am statements in John's Gospel. John's Gospel has two kind of organizing structures. First, there are seven signs of Jesus that John kind of organizes his Gospel around. And then there are also seven I am statements. And this is one of those I am statements. I am the vine. We'll spend some time thinking about that this morning. Dean and I, since this pandemic started, we've really been trying to preach shorter sermons, which I know is terrible for you all. You wish they were much longer, but we've been trying to preach shorter sermons, so we just kind of dive right in. So this passage today is about bearing fruit, which is not a way of speaking generally in our culture today. Like, we wouldn't talk about, yes, my life is really bearing fruit. But in our modern vernacular, we would talk more about growth, personal growth and change. And that's really what Jesus is talking about here. How can we be people who are growing, changing in a good way? And we'll talk about that in a minute. So let's dig into this text and let's do it under three headings: the possibility of growth, the nature of growth, and the means of growth. So the possibility of growth, the nature of growth, and the means of growth. We'll start the possibility of growth. Fruit in the Bible. What is Jesus talking about? Fruit is a reference to who we are as people, like who we are in our character internally. And then from who we are as people, that then impacts how we behave. In other words, that internal character flows out of us into righteous actions. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes about this whole idea. And he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He's essentially saying that if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you and produces in you this fruit. Produces in you, in your character, things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And that from that internal character, that then leads to all kinds of actions just kind of naturally flowing out of you. And here in John 15, Jesus is essentially saying that he is the key to that kind of growth. He is the key to the development of our Christian character. And what he's teaching us here is that if we want to grow, if we want our Christian character to be formed, then it is vital that we have a connection to Jesus and draw upon his life, like a branch draws on the life of the vine. That's the key for our growth and change. In Romans 8, Paul says that God's plan for us, his plan for us before even the creation of the world, was to conform us into the image of his Son, to make us look more like Jesus. And obviously, not like look like Jesus physically, but look like him in our character, who we are. And so Jesus has a plan for us to make us fruitful, to make us beautiful people like him, as his life flows into us. You know, I think today a lot of people are pessimistic that we can change. And especially, obviously, in this genetic age, where the more and more we learn, that the more and more about what we do is just like in our genes, literally. And so I think that creates a pessimism, like, well, we can't change that. We can't really change as people. We just are who we are. But God is committed to our transformation. He is committed to our transformation into holiness. He intends for us to be people who ultimately will share in His glory. And so from a Christian perspective, not only is change possible, but it's expected. It is expected. Let's take a minute to think about the nature of growth. Like, what kind of change are we talking about? And I've already hinted at it, but I want to just make it explicit because it is so important. The kind of change that Jesus wants to bring into our lives is an internal change of character that then flows out into our actions. Actions that are good and pleasing to God. That kind of change is in stark contrast to what I would call behavior modification, which is simply outward or mechanical compliance through some sort of external force. If you're a parent, you know all about that. We employ that method of change on our children frequently. We seek compliance through external force. It's not to say that that's all bad. It's just to differentiate that from what Jesus is about, what Jesus is trying to do in our lives. You know, many people think of Christianity in that more external way, as nothing more than external compliance. You have to do this. You can't do that, or that, you know, whatever. It's just really about trying hard to follow the rules. But let me just ask you a simple question, which the answer is obvious. Does a branch produce fruit by trying hard? No. No, it doesn't do anything. It produces fruit simply because it is connected to the vine. And that's ultimately what Jesus intends for us, that over time, our hearts would be changed. Over time, He would change us at our character level so that good fruit then just naturally flows out of us. It's not something that we have to try hard to do. That's the kind of change that Jesus is after. That's the nature of change from a Christian perspective. So let's think a little bit about the last one, and this is where I want to spend most of our time. We've talked about the possibility of growth, the nature of growth. Let's think about the means of growth, the how question. How does it happen? How does this growth and change occur in our lives? Well, two ways. Two ways. And the first is most essential or most fundamental. And it's exactly what Jesus said. We change because as branches, we stay connected to the vine. The branches have to stay connected to the vine. And if you've ever had any experience with plants, I mean, you just know it's simple. Like if you cut off a branch, if you break it off, it doesn't live long. It dies. So a branch has to stay connected to its source of life. The branch doesn't have life in itself. The branch draws its life from the vine, and that enables the branch to bear fruit. Well, Jesus is saying, look, that's the way it is for Christians. We have to stay connected to our source of life. As Christians, this life that we're called to live, we don't have the source of that in ourselves, but we have to draw it from the vine, Jesus, if we're going to bear fruit. And He tells us explicitly that apart from Him, we can't do anything. We cannot bear fruit. Now, Jesus is good at using metaphors. He understands we are not literally branches. We're people. A branch doesn't have to consciously think and decide, hey, I want to stay connected to the vine. No. Branches don't have to do that, but we do. We do as people. We can only stay connected to the vine, who is Jesus, through the cooperation of our wills. We have to cooperate. And this is why Jesus uses this word remain. He uses the word remain. Sometimes it's translated abide. He uses that word 8 times in 8 verses. And it means to stay or to hold on to or to endure. It's a verb. It's a verb. And he's clearly saying this is something as Christians that you have to do. It's an action you have to take. So how do we stay connected to or abide in Jesus? It's an action that we take. And he gives us a clue as to what that looks like. Verse 7. If you remain or abide in me, my words remain in you. So remaining in Jesus has something to do with his words remaining in us. And let me just ask a simple question, like, how do Jesus' words remain in us? Anybody got an idea? How do Jesus' words remain in us? You have to learn them, yeah. So you have to read Scripture. You have to come to worship, things like this. You have to pray. You have to be in community, a Christian community. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that God's Word kind of gets into us and remains in us. We could actually come up with a very long list of activities that would revolve around this idea of having Jesus' words in us and remaining in us. But I'd like to just read a passage of Scripture that I think paints one of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible of what it looks like to remain in Jesus and have his words remain in us. And it's a picture of the early church. We read this verse often, and for good reason. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So again, we could break down that passage and talk about what were the things that the early church was doing together. But I think just if you look at it in the big picture, you see that clearly remaining in Jesus and having his words remain in us, it's something that takes effort. It takes some time. It takes a commitment to one another. It requires some energy and passion. In other words, it has to be a priority. And let me put it in more concrete terms. And this was a discussion that I had not too long ago with a friend of mine from a long time ago. And we were involved in a Christian ministry together at KU. And he expressed to me that really at this point in his life he's just not doing well spiritually, and he was frustrated by that, didn't quite know what to do. And so we talked for a long time. I was able to ask him some questions, and I'm normally not a confrontational person. Like, I would shy away from confrontation almost in every circumstance, just to be honest. But for some reason, it just came out of my mouth, and I said, well, you're not going to get anything different than what you're experiencing when you don't put any time or effort into your faith. Like, if you won't go to church and you won't ever read your Bible or you won't do anything, well, This is what happens. I mean, this isn't magic. Growing in Christ is not magic. It happens over a long period of time as we do our best, and obviously we are flawed human beings and we fail every day. And you know, but little by little, not like all at once, but little by little, every day as we just kind of try to remain in Jesus and stay faithful to Him and do the little things, you know, He changes us little bit by little bit by little bit. But if we're not willing to do those things and we're not willing to kind of put any effort into it, then it's just not going to work. We're just not going to experience what Jesus has for us. And so growth in Christ, bearing fruit for His kingdom, it requires that we remain in Jesus, that His words remain in us. And that takes a little bit of time and effort. He has to be a priority in our lives. And honestly, as a church that is, and I proudly say this, we are a church that is rooted in the gospel. Like, the gospel is the most important thing here, and we celebrate what God has done for us in Jesus every week when we come to the table. And we need to do that, but we also need to spend some time talking about what we need to do, because there are some things that we need to do. Relationships are never one way, and so we have a part to play too. And if we want to grow and have our lives bear fruit, there really are no shortcuts. We have to do the things that allow us to stay connected to Jesus. So growth in Christ, bearing fruit, happens as we stay connected to Jesus like a branch is connected to the vine. That's the most important thing in terms of growth. But there's a second way that we grow. There's a second way that we grow, and it's related, but there's more to it. Jesus says, look, if you stay connected to Him, if you remain in Him, then there's a way to become even more fruitful. But it hurts. And that happens through the process of pruning. Now, anybody who's skilled at gardening, I'm not, but if you are, you know that plants become more fruitful over time if they're pruned. And unlike what we were just talking about, when we think about people, you know, remaining in Jesus takes some effort on our part. Being pruned doesn't. Because life is going to make sure that all of us experience some seasons of pruning. And of course, we've just been through a big one, right? We're still in it. Pruning, the circumstances in life that cause this pruning effect, are going to come to us all, no matter what. It is a consequence that we all suffer as a part of this broken, fallen world. And God does allow His children to suffer this pruning, but He uses it for our good and His glory. You know why pruning works? It works because it wounds the branch. And when the branch is wounded, it forces the branch to draw even more on the life of the vine. That then makes the branch grow more and become even more fruitful. So God allows our wounding. He allows our suffering, because when we abide in His Son Jesus, we draw even closer to Him and His life, which leads to even greater growth, greater fruitfulness in our lives. And I have seen this happen in so many people's lives. I have seen people, as a pastor, I've walked with people through some of the most horrific things. Things I hope and pray I never have to go through. And I've seen them do it, and you just think, how do you do this? How are you doing this? And how are you becoming an even better person in the midst of it? Well, it's because they're remaining in Jesus. And he's allowing them to be pruned, and it's yielding even greater growth and fruit in their lives. And some of you no doubt are being pruned right now. And maybe you wonder, is there really any redemptive point to all of this? Or is this just suffering that is awful? My encouragement to you would be just simple. Remain in Jesus. Because I will tell you as a pastor, one thing I've seen is that is sometimes almost a knee-jerk reaction in people that when they begin to suffer, instead of remaining, they move toward isolation. And that is the worst thing you can possibly do. So my encouragement would just be to remain in Jesus. Stay connected to Him. Draw even more upon His life, and ultimately it will lead to even greater fruitfulness and growth in your own life. And we need to remember that we know God is a God who brings growth out of loss, who brings beauty out of something ugly like the cross, who brings life out of death. That's who God is. That's what He does. And Jesus Himself was pruned. He was cut back. He was really cut back to the point of death, so that ultimately He could bring life to the world. Let's pray. Lord, thank You again for this day. Thank You for Your word. Lord, we pray that You would just help us. Help us to remain in Your Son, Jesus. Help us to draw our life from Him so that we can grow, that our character can become more like Your Son, Jesus, and we can bear fruit in our lives. We love You, and we pray in Jesus' name.